Good evening, guys. I'm Greg Wolf, pastor of Cliff Terrace Church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and we are so glad that you decided to join us tonight. And so before we begin, I want to remind you tonight to be sure and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you have not already. And to get the alerts when a new video is available, be sure and click the bell. It's right below the video there. Also, I have a couple of announcements to make, a couple of things that are going on. First of all, don't forget to join us this Sunday. Each and every Sunday we have service. You can either join us in person or live here on YouTube. We're starting a new series this Sunday called When Necessary, when we're going to look at practical ways to share the gospel by studying the methods of our greatest evangelism model, Jesus Christ. And each Sunday we begin at 10:30 a.m., so don't miss it. Also, mark your calendars for a great event that's coming up on August 29th. And we're hosting our first family fishing derby. And it will start at 9 a.m. And we're going to have prizes for the winners of each category. And this event is fully stocked and endorsed by the Arkansas Game and Fish. You don't want to miss this event. Make plans to join us. This event is completely free. That's right, I said free. And all the details are on our Facebook events page. And there are three ways that you can participate with this event. Number one, you can give. We need financial help to make this a great event. Number two, invite someone to come. Invite friends, family, whoever, to come and be a part. And then number three, volunteer to help. With all of us working together, we can make this a great event. So make sure to mark your calendars for August 29th. Today, we're beginning an 8-week series on the book of Daniel. And there are three key themes that we want to cover in this series: the sovereignty of God, the importance of faithfulness in the world, and God's redemptive plan for his people. When we focus primarily on the life of Daniel, we gain a powerful picture of a faithful person and his challenges living in a hostile culture. So, let's get started. So, what I was going to do tonight was I was going to show you this video of me riding wildfire at Solar City in Branson, Missouri. However, I had some technical difficulties, so what I did was I uploaded the video to YouTube, and I posted a link in the description so you can go back and watch that video and enjoy. It's of a roller coaster ride. And I don't know about you, but I love to ride roller coasters. I have ridden just about every roller coaster. If I've been to the park, I've rode just about every roller coaster there. There are some that I haven't ridden yet, some that I'm hoping to ride at some point. But I've noticed that the older I get, the harder it's getting for me to ride roller coasters. But why do some people love roller coasters so much? Think about this. If we face the same speed, the same drops, terror that we get from a roller coaster in any other situation, like driving a car or riding a bike, we wouldn't repeat that experience, would we? Unlike riding a bike or a car, when we ride a roller coaster, we're not the ones in control, right? They have a predetermined, everything has been done. The drops, the turns are exhilarating. We love those things. They are designed to do what they're intended to do. In the same way, we can face the highs and lows of the future with a confidence that God is sovereign over all of history. The book of Daniel, in both its historical account of Daniel's life and the prophecy he receives, repeats this theme throughout. God is sovereign over rulers, over kingdoms, and every event in history. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Daniel and begin reading at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashphanaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Today, there are 3 important facts that I want you to notice about Daniel chapter 1. And in these facts surrounding Daniel's life, that I believe that you will see how God is sovereign over our lives and he honors our attempts at faithfulness. Fact number one, their names are changed. There is something significant about our names. Maybe at one time or another, you've looked up what your name means. My name, Gregory, derives from the Latin name Gregorius, which means watchful, alert, or to watch. Each of the Hebrews had a name that meant something special. In order for Daniel and his friends to enter the king's service, they needed to have Babylonian citizenship. And this was done by giving them Babylonian names. The young prince, Daniel, his name, meaning God is my judge, was renamed Belshazzar, meaning Bel, chief god of Babylon, protect his life. Hananiah, meaning the Lord shows grace, was renamed Shadrach, meaning servant of Aku, the moon god. Mishael, his name meaning asked a question, who is equal to God, was renamed Meshach, meaning the shadow of the prince, or who is this? And Azariah, meaning the Lord helps, was renamed Abednego, meaning servant of Nego, the god of wisdom, or the morning star. As citizens of Babylon, they now had official responsibilities. But no matter what they were now called, these young Hebrew men were determined to remain loyal to the one true God. Which brings me to fact number 2. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Now think about this for just a moment. How did he do this? You see, in this first introduction that we have to Daniel, we learn a lot about his and his friend's character. Rather than merely keeping up a random dietary restriction, there are a couple reasons these Jewish men would want to abstain from the royal food. One is that the Eastern standards to share a meal was to commit oneself to friendship. It was of covenant significance. The other reason is that the meat and wine had been almost certainly offered to idols, whereas vegetables may not have been. The significance here is not just that Daniel was willing to face consequences for his place in God, but that he recognized that accepting certain aspects of his newfound surrounding culture would be detrimental to his attempt to remain faithful to God. This particular decision might seem trivial, but Daniel recognized that the invitation to come and learn and eat in the king's service would come with some unique temptations. You know, there's an important lesson for us here. Our surrounding cultures will fight for our ultimate loyalty. Even if we aren't in the king's service, our country, our business, or our political party will fight to have our ultimate loyalty. Daniel recognized that participating in some aspects of this world would ask too much from him. You know, you and I can live as faithful witnesses in a hostile culture by doing good work that contributes to human flourishing. That brings me to fact number three. They ended stronger than they started. And I want you to think about this statement for just a moment. Our study of Daniel's life, it gives us a tangible example of what it looks like for believers to work faithfully in a sometimes hostile culture. Maybe because of the way you believe or the things that you might say at work, people may not respond to you very well. But because the four young men were devoted to God, God took special care of them. And if you're striving to be faithful to God, you can be confident that he will be with you and give you the help you need to accomplish his purpose for your life. When it was time for their evaluation, Daniel and his friends stood healthy and unafraid before the king. And when they were questioned, the king found them to be far wiser and more capable than any of the ungodly advisors already serving the king, or any in the entire kingdom for that matter. Because they had remained faithful to the Lord, their display of wisdom and understanding was a great testimony to God's power, care, and his guidance. You know, when Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they all come out of their 10-day trial period looking healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food, we're reminded that God is sovereign over all things, including the provision of his people. And while the rest of the book will deal with his sovereignty over much larger things than the physical strength of these four men, we can begin their story of life in a hostile culture with a reminder that God is sovereign over their lives. So to sum everything up, we're to be faithful to God as our king. We can work in a hostile world. We can live in a hostile world. We can do life in a hostile world. And as believers, we should always be faithful to God and don't let the influences of the world that we live in pull you away from being faithful to God. In the end, as we remain faithful to him, he will always be faithful to us. God loves us. God cares for us. He's always going to be faithful. He's always going to be there beside us. He's always going to be there to protect us, to walk us through each and every step. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that we can come here tonight, and we can come and we can study your word. We can receive from your message from your word, God, as you're speaking to us, God. Help us to be faithful to you, God, that even in the environment that we may be in a world that may not always agree with what we agree or believe what we believe, God. God, help us to be able to work and function in that world. Help us to continue to be faithful to you and not let the influences of the world change our views or change our minds, but we stay focused upon your thoughts and your ways and your desires, God, and we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to remind you, don't forget to join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We have a service. You can come be here. We have all the, we're social distancing. We ask people if you can to wear a mask in the service. And as you're seated, you don't have to wear the mask. Then as you leave, if you can, wear the mask out. I know some people can't wear a mask, and that's fine. We want everybody to feel welcome and feel comfortable so you can come and participate in service. And for some reason, you can't be in service with us. Maybe you have bad health or Maybe you're taking care of somebody that has bad health, or for whatever reason you can't be with us in service. We want you to join us live on YouTube. We make this available so that you can participate in our service. So I want to say thank you for being a part, and don't forget to join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We'll be starting a new series called When Necessary. And the rest, y'all have a wonderful week. Have a great week this week. And also, don't forget, there are questions in the description below that you can continue this study, that you can continue for this series. And we just ask that God be with you this week. Y'all have a wonderful night.